Hey, everybody. Fan of the Charlie Kirk Show. Yanmi Park joins the program for an incredible conversation. Are human beings basically good or basically flawed? She's a subject matter expert on that because she lived in North Korea. She knows who humans actually are. It's a fascinating conversation. You need to text this to your friends and listen carefully. A North Korean dissident warns us that we might be living through that hellscape sometime soon. Email me freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast by opening up your podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA. That is tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Get involved with Turning Point Action at tpaction.com. Come to our Turning Point Action conference. Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, Dan Bongino, and more. tpaction.com. That is tpaction.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
All right. Welcome back to the program, Yanmi Park.
Thank you for having me back.
You just spoke to 2,500 young women.
Wow.
What were your impressions?
I mean, actually, I have done one women's conference, something called Women in the World in New York with Tina Brown. And it was completely different vibe.
Different vibe?
These women were so happy. They were not complaining.
Oh, really? So the New York women were very, very angry.
I mean, it was they're all like successful people, but so angry and bitter.
Why do you think that is?
I know. That's a thing. Like, they got so much, but I think it's like a habit of complaining in their culture.
Yes.
It's just, entire thing was just complaining, the least, how they cannot cry in the office, how there's a glass ceiling, how they don't get paid as much as men, just.
Do you find that Americans are master complainers?
Some people are, yes. I do think it's like, in a way, it's very deeply embedded in the culture of complaining. In a way, it looks almost, you look smart if you complain. If you just be easygoing, they think you're dumb. I don't know. That's like my observation.
No, I think a lot of the woke stuff is just weaponized complaining. So in North Korea, where you grew up, and there's like no food, did people complain as much as they complain here?
I mean, they get executed. There's no word for starvation. That word is banned. It's called, instead of starvation or famine, it's called Arduous March.
Called what?
Arduous March. It's like arduous march. They, 1 month in North Korean history, they were like suffering. So they don't ask us to say it's a famine. It's arduous march.
So if you complain, you get executed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cruel. And so you come here. I mean, just so everyone understands your story, we've had you on before, but it's an amazing story. You're a defector from North Korea. How many have successfully defected?
To America, it's over just 200 of us.
200.
209 exactly, I know.
But very few speak up, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Because the regime punishes all the family members who are left behind. And they also try to kill, assassinate the dissident like me. I've been on the killing list for a long time now.
Oh, you're on the kill list?
Yeah.
Do you fear for your life?
I do. But I live in New York City, so I think I might get die in the subway more than before Kim Jong-un kills me at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Some crazy homeless person might throw you in front of a subway.
Absolutely. That's a very...
It's a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's in your understanding that maybe Kim Jong-un might send an assassin to the United States?
I was informed by the South Korean intelligence.
That such a thing might happen?
That I'm on the killing list, so told him not to go to a lot of countries, like where he killed his brother in Malaysia airport. So a lot of countries, it's so easier to hire hitmen that it just costs $5,000 to hire hitmen in many parts of the world.
So, Kim Jong-nam, right?
Kim Jong-nam was the brother who got killed in Malaysia.
So like stabbed in the throat or something?
No, they hire some actress girls, rub a poison, and just he died at the airport. It was not even stabbing, just rubbing some poison on his nose, and that's how he died.
So what countries are you trying to avoid?
Definitely not Malaysia.
Yeah, that's not going to be on the top of the list.
A lot of the South American countries.
Yeah.
A lot of countries that has a relationship with North Korea, that like Cuba, Iran, I mean. And a lot of Southeast Asia, they have a relationship with North Korea. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's 209 defectors. Most don't speak out because they're afraid of family retribution.
Yeah.
In the leadership of the North Korean regime, I'm talking about, let's just say, the top 100 people yeah. around Kim Jong-un. Do they know better? Do they know good and evil?
Absolutely. Kim Jong-un educated in Switzerland. Their children themselves go study in Europe.
And so the people around Kim Jong-un, they go to Europe. They see what a free society
yeah.
is. And then they willingly come back to North Korea.
Because they be a royalty then. They know if North Korea becomes like South Korea, everybody's equal. But in North Korea, we have different caste system. They began the country to make everything equal. They divided us into 51 different classes. And they're on the top of that class.
So what are those classes? Not all 51, but basically, what
so
are they?
So big three categories is something. It's like almost like a, you know, fruit is a joke. It's like number one class, core class is a tomato. You're inside the red, outside the red. You're a really good communist. Second half of the class is an apple. You're outside the red, but inside the white, you're questionable, so you need a surveillance. The remaining, the bottom third class is a grape. You're not red outside, you're not red inside. You're damned. You're a hostile class. They're gonna just oppress you, take advantage of you. And but that class determined not by what you do, what your ancestors did. So if your great-grandfather was a landowner, they say your blood is tainted. Your genetics is oppressive to other people. That's how your class is determined. Before you are born, you know which class you belong to.
So the average North Korean citizen, when you were growing up, is there any awareness of how bad it actually is? Because they have nothing to compare it to.
And we don't know the word even to describe our situation. That's why the language controls.
The words.
Yeah, that's why it scares me in America. They keep controlling what we can say, what we cannot say. Because if you don't know the word, you don't understand the concept. That's how the regime gets even. We don't have a word of stress. Because how can you be stressed living in a socialist paradise? You cannot be. So they got rid of that word.
They got rid of the word stress.
Yes, because you cannot be stressed.
How about the word happy?
I think it is there, but we don't talk about that. It's not something we think we need. It's not in the constitution that we deserve happiness, right? So we don't think that's something we need in life. We don't know. We know as a vocabulary in the dictionary.
So how does marriage work in North Korea?
So that's a good point. Because the regime does not want people to mix between caste system. So there's no such a thing
as
marrying
up. So no tomatoes
with
grapes or apples with grapes?
No, you can. You marry somebody who is a grape, then three generations of that guy's family, everybody who's alive, who's going to be born, going to go down together. So you only can't go down.
You can't go up.
You cannot go up.
So marriage, is it – what is the main driver of marriage?
Reproducing to create a child so they can work for the communist revolution. It's not a family of happiness and fulfilling your purpose. Children is not yours, it's state's. It's government. They own your children.
So the state is the true parent.
Yeah. That's what teacher tells you since you're young. Every room in North Korea, we have portraits of dictators and saying, your real father is not important. If he says something wrong, come tell us. Your real father is our dear leader. That is the most important father that you have in your life.
Did you believe that growing up?
I believe that, yeah. I believe that he was God until I was 17, I think.
That he was God?
Yeah. I thought he could read my mind.
There's no technology in North Korea, right?
No, there's no internet. We don't even know what that is.
No internet?
No internet. I mean, we don't have cars, AC. We don't have a shower. We don't have sewage. I mean, our lifestyle is like dark ages. We go to river to shower in the summer. We don't have a laundry or refrigerator. We don't have any of that.
And so Kim Jong-un, who knows better, decides not to change any of it.
Yeah.
What do you know about him that you can share? That this is a description of a pretty evil man.
Yeah. He was educated with his own sister, Kim Yo-jong, in Switzerland. His entire childhood was in abroad. And when his father was sick, he came to North Korea, started ruling as a leader in early 20s in his life. I mean, he knows that maintaining the status quo is the most important thing to him. And if he opens a market, opens a country, people are going to learn and see and start demanding justice from him. So that's why he can never open that up. Because he wanna be a king.
Who comes after him?
His son.
He has a son?
Yes. He has many, many mistresses. In North Korea, something called the pleasure squad.
Pleasure squad.
So the officials each region have to go get these girls in the elementary school. These dictators in North Korea believe that if you have sex with young girls, you get longevity from the energy of a child. So North Korea, every region have to submit these young virgin girls to the regime. And after Kim Jong-un takes advantage of them, he gives them to other guys as a gift. It's something called gift politics.
How young are these girls?
From 9 to 11 to 13 to 16. And after 23, you're not usable. You're too old.
So then what happens?
They cannot join the society. So these girls are gifted to bodyguards of Kim Jong-un and the high officials.
At 23?
Yeah.
That's so they just keep on getting passed down.
Yeah. And they cannot come to the normal society.
Do you think people are naturally good?
No. There's no naturally good. No way. You have to learn to be good. If naturally good, North Korea couldn't exist.
The predominant view in every college in America is human beings are naturally good.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
In fact, we had a group of students, and even our conservative kids, half of them think human beings are naturally good.
We're capable of being good if we get trained.
No, they think naturally.
That's false. No, humans are naturally very evil.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, humans are very naturally evil.
Yeah, if people were naturally good, then they would say, wait, stop. Let's not have 9-year-olds as sex slaves.
Right. Yeah. No, humans are... Yeah, that's a thing. I can be totally bad. You know, if I did not come to America, everybody capable of being.
Well, I think that's what we naturally are.
Yeah.
The significance of that question is that if you think people are naturally good, then your explanation for evil is we have to get rid of the system.
Not the people.
Not improve
individual.
The person.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's why Marxists love the idea of natural goodness.
Yeah.
So Kim Jong-un lives as this dictator and this leader. What does he do to his political dissidents or opponents?
He doesn't have political dissidents. He's a lifetime god.
If let's say somebody said, I want to run for office against Kim Jong-un. Not even office. I know it's not a concept. Let's say somebody spoke against him. What would he do?
He executed his own uncle. He made those meat eaten by dogs in front of other officials.
When you see in America a current president trying to put his political opponent in prison, what does that mean to you?
That's actually, it's been happening in South Korea too. Every ex-president's going to the prison. Because path to becoming third world countries, really, where that revenge, you know, comes from the political retribution. I've never seen that in America, but it's a sign of decline of democracy in a way to me that it's your political opponent is a political opponent. You cannot send him. I don't know. It's so... That I don't understand why America choosing this path right now. And also this path where there was a saying when I came to America where they say, don't hate the person. You can hate the idea, but you know, you don't hate the people. You need to love the people, neighbor, like not love your neighbors. This was, I think, coming from very Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
as the society become very secular, I think you hate the person.
That's right.
Because they have this idea. You have to revenge them.
So are you grew up not even believing in the concept of God, but believing if there was a God, it would be Kim Jong-un. Is that fair?
Yeah. We didn't have the word God. We had the word dear leader.
So the word God did not exist.
It didn't exist.
Okay. And the concept of God did not exist.
No.
Okay. So you come to the West. What is your religious view now?
I'm spiritual, and I'm in the journey, because when I got out, honestly, when I was rescued by Christians, they said, if you believe in God, we're going to rescue you. If you don't, you're not going to rescue.
So you said yes.
Yes, because I was so desperate.
Good for you. And you know what? You know, it's very, can I just pause?
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly why lying sometimes can be the right thing. This is a provocative thing. People say you should never lie. I'm glad you said you believed in God.
But I actually did at the time.
Oh, because good. You're so it wasn't a lie.
You're so desperate.
But even if it was a lie, you have to save your life. You're in the Gobi Desert. You know, you were sex trafficked. This is crazy.
Even somebody brought a rock to me. If you don't believe in this, I'm not going to rescue you.
You would have done anything.
I would have done anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes. So you did believe in God at that time.
Now, at the time, and then once I came out, I was sick of like this people trying to control what you can believe, what you cannot believe. And I think I became spiritual. I believe in God now since I became a mother. I think that's when I...
A mother?
Yeah. I mean, when I heard my son, I realized that's a miracle. There's no way I could have done that.
You're exactly right.
Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text Charlie to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone, text Charlie to the number 74868 for biblical responsible investing. Text Charlie to 74868.
So now you're becoming spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
What warning do you have for the country as it becomes less religious, less spiritual?
So that is a thing. When I understood freedom for the first time as a North Korean, as an adult, freedom was a discipline and was a responsibility. Freedom was not just going on the street, shooting yourself like up with heroin. And you can say that's freedom. But what intentional freedom meant by the founding fathers in the country was that it came with a discipline.
Yes.
It had to have a virtue. Otherwise, it would be an anarchy.
And licentiousness, yes.
Right. But that virtue came from scripture at the time.
Yes.
Now we removed God, and they're trying to fill that gap with something else. And I think that's why this the woke ideology looks like a religion to me.
Yes, it
does. They just chant, right? Men and women are the same. Like the chanting, just they keep saying as if it's going to be true if they say more and more.
Yes.
And I think that is a real question. Like, what are you going to replace that with? Because freedom needs that, the discipline, responsibility, and virtue.
It's a Gregorian-type chant, as if you're in a monastery from the 1600s. Men can give birth.
Yeah.
Men can give birth.
Yeah. It really is.
It's a religious incantation, basically.
Yeah.
So you're on your own spiritual journey, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But you're living in a godless city.
Yeah.
In a secular city.
Yeah.
One of the more powerful parts of your story is when you talk about you went to Columbia and people said that you were privileged or entitled or all of this stuff. But I want to actually ask something more personal, because we've talked about that on the show before. Why aren't you super bitter personally? Why are you a happy person and joyful? Because you have every reason to be bitter. You had 17 years of your life stolen. You were raped, correct?
Yeah.
Sold into a sex trade. Mm-hmm. Barely. Why aren't you bitter? Why are you a happy person?
Because I went through it. I think because I didn't have any of freedom. I think in a way I can have a different perspective because of my past. right, like at home, that when I have a refrigerator, I know that how unusual that kind of lifestyle is. And this, the idea where like my agent, when I was writing my first book, they were asking me to go see a therapist. And they say, you know, people in America who gone through PTSD, they need to see a therapist. And I asked them, what is a therapy? And like, if there's a place called therapy exists, I'm in a good place, right? Like, I really don't need to go see a therapist. I'm in a great, safe space.
Therapist, by the way. 90% of them will mess you up even more.
Yeah, I did not see them.
Yeah, good. That's why you're happy.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like, yeah, I mean, people really in America haven't experienced real hardship a lot of times. In imagination, it's a hardship for them.
No, that's right.
But never like they felt actual physical hardship. So they cannot really appreciate what they have.
The best you can into words, can you describe the difference between somebody says an insult to you versus what it's like to not eat for 2 weeks?
There's no comparison. I would like hear the insults every day.
Yeah, because college kids are saying speech is violence.
Yeah. They think what we say can kill them. Words can kill people. I mean, as a survivor, even being raped was being better than starved.
Did you make a decision to be happy?
Yes. A lot of days is a decision. Happiness is a choice.
Happiness is a choice. Tell me about that.
It's why there are shitty days, no matter what, even in freedom, for sure there are shitty days. And those days, what do? You choose to be happy. It's not something that somebody going to give me happiness that day. I choose to be happy and get up and do my job.
Where did you get that belief from?
I think it's instinctive. I think when you...
Not for Americans.
That's...
I agree with you. Most Americans think happiness happens to them. Happiness is something far out in the distant that eventually I'll get to. Happiness is, it has to be like certain days happy or not. But you're saying that it's an act of the will.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, in the
which
same,
is 100% correct.
Right. Yeah. I think that's interesting.
This is why Americans are so unhappy. They think happiness happens to them.
Right, that's all my friends seeing therapists on the medication.
Because the therapists they need therapists. Most people get into therapy because they got problems. It's just the way it is.
Fascinating.
And there's some good therapists, but most of them are not good. So we live in a really sad country. You're a happy person, which I think is what is so incredibly charming about you, is that you talk about like concentration camp, open air prison, getting raped with a smile. And people don't really quite know how to handle that. And we live in a super depressed country, a suicidal country, a country that is increasingly drug addicted. Yeah. And here you are, you've been to literal hell on earth and you're happy and joyful. That's worthy of recognition and noticing. And I just want to reemphasize what percentage of people listening to this, when they saw their refrigerator, thought something about it, right?
Yeah.
So when you see a refrigerator, what do you think?
I see prosperity. I have food. Like literally right now in Washington Post is writing a hit piece on me.
What are they going to hit you on?
That I said I've been helping the NGOs to rescue defectors. And it's like, does that mean that you are going back to North Korea rescuing this person? I'm like, how dumb do you have to be thinking that?
Yeah. Well, tell me the reporter afterwards and we'll love to learn more about
Washington Post.
Why don't we send them the Pyongyang?
Right, exactly. They need to go to Pyongyang.
No, but they should. Go spend a month in Pyongyang, pal.
Yeah. But I think for me, eventually, like it comes down to that. Like I have so much to be grateful for. And I think this is one thing that my mom told me. She one day prayed to God, like, how can I be happy, God? Like, let me make me happy. Because she gone through a lot.
Yeah.
And God told her, learn gratitude. If you learn gratitude, you're going to be happy. And I think that's what they are missing in Americans, that they are not grateful. They are just not thankful at all for what they're having here.
The entire country teaches in gratitude. At Columbia, how many of your teachers would tell you to be grateful?
Oh, they tell you to be angry. Very opposite. Not even like be neutral about it. They say stay angry. Be outraged because how evil American system is. How unthinkable this everything is that they say the only solution is a communist revolution. Literally, this is a thing they say. And the only solution
Columbia.
Is, yeah, we have to dismantle American system.
Are you going to send your son eventually to college?
Mostly not. We are sending him to Catholic school right now.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
as long as they're not woke.
But right. Yeah, they're better than other schools.
Yes.
And we want him to start business, want to build things,
good.
Not thinking about reading a textbook and thinking that's you know something.
Or that men can give birth or something.
Yeah, like
that.
Unless you learn a skill to build something magnificent,
yes.
you don't know anything.
Yes.
So we want him to become a builder and become a business person.
What is it going to take to save this country, Yanmi?
It takes all of us who can
see. Is America savable?
Yeah, I think so.
You had some hesitation.
Yeah, it's some days I'm down, some days, but like, you know, what's the alternative if we are not hopeful? What is, I think that even being optimistic, pessimistic is like irrelevant at this point. We know what's the right thing to do. We need to, what you do, waking up people, and we need to teach our children better, preparing the next generation better. And telling our friends and that's the thing. Like I eventually not gonna focusing on can I be helpful or not. I just know what's the right thing to do, and just I'm gonna do that.
To do your duty and the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
What do Marxists fear? Totalitarian Marxists. What is their Achilles heel?
They hate truth. That's why they kill the truth tellers. I mean, and they're
and put them in prison.
Yes, they do. They hate the truth.
Why do they hate the truth so much?
Because it exposes them, exposes their lie. Because Marxism is built on the lie and goes against absolute our human nature.
Does a Marxist regime, when people start to speak up, does that get them to get nervous?
Yes. Yeah. Even Northern regime. They hate the dissent. I think that is where, that's why they lose their control. If somebody exposed them with the truth, they literally lose control and do everything to silence those people.
Do you think there's a spiritual dimension to what's happening in North Korea? Meaning that it's an evil spiritual oppression?
It is definitely that. Because when, look at just complete South Korea and North Korea. South Korea is the number one nation that produces missionaries.
Yes.
Given the population of the nation.
It's 100 million people, right?
No, less. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. How many?
50 million.
Is it 50? What's the North Korean population?
Around 21.
Yeah, it would be less. Okay.
Right. And look at the result. One is God's country. One is godless country. And I think that's why I say that we need God. He doesn't need us. Nation needs a God. They do, really do.
Yeah, there's a debate going on in some Christian circles where they say politics don't matter and government doesn't matter. And there's 21 people in an open-air prison in North Korea. Politics can matter a lot, correct?
Yeah. I mean, that determines everything in the society. Politics is the most important thing. It's a foundation, everything. Even you want to have the most amazing idea to build something.
Yes.
If a political system is not there to help you, there's nothing you can, there's no human potential to be reached. If the political system is
wrong. Right. So if there's an average American listening right now, 16, 17 year old, what's your advice to them?
It's a, I don't want to be right now 16, 17 in America because it's just don't go on social media. Delete your social media. Pick up the books, not the current New York Times bestseller, those trash.
That is garbage.
Pick up the classical books.
Yes.
Classical literature. Get into those books and read them until you understand them. And see just original work of our founding fathers and what it meant to be free, what this nation meant to be.
Were you taught to read in North Korea?
I had a second, first grade of education in North
what
Korea.
What books were you given, if any, to read there?
Oh, Kim Il-sung's, all the propaganda books. There's no other books allowed.
So just the propaganda
Absolutely.
Books.
Absolutely.
Did you, never came in contact with a Bible there?
People recently in North Korea, the two-year-old was sentenced to concentration camp because the parent had a Bible. North Korea is the number one nation that persecutes Christianity. There are more than 70,000 Christians in the concentration camp right now. Own a Bible, read a Bible, met somebody believer, they're all going to get executed, and the three generations of family sent to prison camp.
In your lifetime, do you think you're going to see the collapse of the North Korean regime?
If we don't change China's regime, it's not going to change North Korea's regime.
So it's a proxy state of the CCP.
China runs North Korea. It's the accountability is not even on Kim Jong-un. He's a puppet of China.
Our government's also a puppet of China.
Right.
So we have that in common.
Yeah. So unless we don't change China, there's no hope for North Korean people.
How do we change the CCP? How do we take down the CCP?
Americans. We are the only country that can match China currently. That we have to wake up that this is an actual threat to our democracy and our way of life here. Because as long as there is a freedom, it's a threat to totalitarian states.
Always.
Always. That's why they hate free states, free countries. So this war will continue as long as China stay to be this communist party.
Look, you did the tough thing during the Chinese coronavirus. You paid your people and pulled your business through the pandemic. And now doing the tough thing could qualify you up to $26,000 per employee at covidtaxrelief.org. Government funds are available to reward companies with two or more employees who stayed open during COVID. This is not a loan, and you don't have to pay it back. I know a lot of people that have benefited from this. I think Congress appropriated way too much money. This program is complicated, but nobody knows it better than the CPAs and tax experts at covidtaxrelief.org. That is covidtaxrelief.org. You pay nothing up front. They do all the work and share a percentage of the cash they get you. Businesses of all types, including nonprofits and churches, can qualify, including those who took PPP loans, even if you had an increase in sales. You did the difficult thing for your employees during the virus. Let covidtaxrelief.org help you get up to $26,000 per employee. Visit covidtaxrelief.org. That is covidtaxrelief.org, covidtaxrelief.org.
So North Korea is attached to, they're an attaché to the CCP.
Yeah.
What does the CCP get out of it?
So, Mao sent his son during the Korean War and he died.
Really?
So the relationship between North Korea and China is put by Chinese words between your teeth and the lips. If you don't have the lips, your teeth are going to get affected. Without teeth, you cannot eat. You need each other to survive. So one, North Korea is a buffer zone. There's an American army in South and Japan. So it's a buffer zone for the free movement to come to China. They need North Korea to block that. Second of all, is a leverage. Whenever North Korea tests nuclear weapons, who Americans go to? Begging China to talk to Kim Jong-un because North Korea does not talk to America.
That's fascinating.
So it's a leverage stick.
So that if they want to cash in if China wants to keep leverage over America, they have that.
North Korea.
Just send off a rocket.
Yeah, and whenever they want America to annoy America, they can tell Kim Jong-un, why don't you test more nukes right now? And then America have to go beg them again. Like, can you ask North Korea to escalate? So it's very useful state for the China to maintain.
You think that the CCP can be defeated?
I don't care if it can. I just know it has to.
That's
be.
The right
we
answer.
Need to fight for it.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah,
I have no idea either.
Yeah,
you know that they've purchased most of our elites in our country.
Yeah.
Most of our corporations.
Met those people.
You've met those people?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I met Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, he's a big CCP guy.
Right. I met all the powerful people in America, and they said, I'm sorry what you went through, but please don't tell people that you know me.
Really? Because, what other people did you meet?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, really?
Nancy Pelosi.
How is Hillary in person?
Absolute fake and liar, right? She's so.
Because the reason you met these people is that early on in your story, it was interesting to them or something? Because you were doing a lot of human rights stuff, a lot of UN stuff. I don't think they invite you anymore, right?
No, because yeah, they say you've been on Fox. That's it.
Yeah. Once you speak out about the Marxism here,
yeah,
you are untouchable.
Yeah, I'm a Nazi right now today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So actually, yeah. So initially, I did not know what conservative or democratic. I had no agenda. Mm-hmm. I did not know anything. Yep. I just believed everybody that on the surface, they say they care about slavery, that they denounce slavery, and I invent them. There are modern-day slaves, that I was one of them. There are 300,000 North Korean girls in China are slaved. Can you do something about it? And they said, no, like, you don't tell people that you know me.
Yeah, the CCP has really purchased big parts of this country. Final thought on here. Marxism is on the march. You're doing your duty. A lot of Americans want to give up. What's your message to them?
I think this is where, you know, it's our time to be the founders again. And we decide the future of this country. The founding fathers cannot come back from the grave and do something about this. We are the only ones going to decide which path our country going to take.
Yes.
And if we believe in these values that we hold in this country,
yes,
we have to fight for it like our founding fathers did. And this is a new era that there's enemies, actual enemies, try to get rid of our system.
That's right.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln called it a new birth of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've said for a while, we're going to have to refound this country. I don't know what it looks like, but that's what we have to do.
We know what worked. That's the thing. So why can we not do that? That's like where in human history, many things failed, but there are things certainly worked. And that things create the most tolerant, most prosperous, most equal society. Not equality of outcomes, but the opportunity-wise. People had the same opportunities.
Strongest nation ever.
Yes. So we know what principles gave rise to that nation.
Yes.
Then we need to go back to finding those principles. It's not that hard. It's not like nobody ever achieved it. We have done it already. We just know how to find that way back there.
Any books or podcasts or things you want to plug for our audience?
No. This is your work is amazing. I'm learning so much.
Well, you're very kind. You are incredibly bright and insightful, and to be very honest, if most Americans had the perspective you had, we wouldn't be in this mess. These self-righteous, lazy Americans, many of them that just sit around and do nothing. What do you think, by the way, this is a side note, what do you think when you see somebody vastly overweight?
I'm going to be very honest.
Please.
Like a lack of self-control.
Yeah.
They say, oh, the obesity is a genetics. It's not about
self-choice. Your city of New York says it's some sort of a good thing.
It's a brain or a thing. And also now they say, you know, every size is healthy. I mean, that's just factually wrong. Not every size is healthy.
Were there fat people besides Kim Jong-un in North Korea?
No.
Yeah.
But I live in South Korea.
Yeah.
And people work for it. They make the right choices to stay healthy.
They're not an obese country, are they?
No. And I think in America, they, in the name of compassion, they try to make everybody feel good. It's all about, I have a crazy friend in New York, really. I don't know. Like, literally, they don't even want to say the no word to the dog.
The no word to a dog?
Because they don't want to hurt the dog's feelings. So this dog, it's a trash and throws up, gets sick if it's a trash. So you need to teach a dog, don't eat the trash. But they literally say, hey, no, like because they don't want to hurt the dog's feelings. They're good people, just very misguided. They think the discipline of telling the truth is like something you cannot do. So they now, not just beyond not hurting somebody's feelings, they don't want to even hurt the dog's feelings. That is, they are doing something destructive to their body. You need to stop them, right? That's our response. We know better. We teach a dog, don't eat the trash. You're going to get sick. And now in society, we are doing that because people think every size is healthy, every size is beautiful. Beauty, I don't care. Healthiness matters. Healthy yes. really matters for yes. quality of your life. You gotta stay healthy.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, does it also make you feel that, I mean, they have so much food, so much excess? I mean, I can't imagine. It probably animates you. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
Right? What you have. Like, I mean, if you're obese, you're taking food for granted and your lifestyle for granted.
Yeah, I think, but the thing is, even having this much abundance, that's a reason for them to complain. They say, oh, we have too much food. We have too much bad food. And I get,
yeah, control yourself.
Yeah, but trust me, I've been to Costco. I go to Costco. There are chicken salad, Caesar salads. It's a huge, gigantic pack for like yes. $9 for entire week your family can eat.
Yes.
They're cheaper than McDonald's.
Yes.
And telling me there's no cheap option for healthy food. No, go to Costco. There are a lot of healthy options that is very, very inexpensive.
I totally agree.
So like, I go to Costco, buy healthy options. What they're telling me, there's no cheap healthy food. Just all lie.
They just want to be comfortable. And this new thing Eric Adams had come out where he said that being fat is a condition. No, yeah. It's a new civil right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, we need a bigger seat at the airlines for free. Like, they just entitlement.
Do you think Americans are too tolerant of this stuff?
Yeah. As much, I don't like government to control it, mm-hmm. but I do think it needs to be taught. Discipline needs to be taught.
Yes.
These things has to be taught somewhere. And I don't think they learned it from their parents because their parents in America, I have play dates with my friends, like mothers go out. My son, like I put him in healthy food. I don't give Good. Him the bad food. If he doesn't want to eat, that's the only you're going to get. My friends like, I want a mommy cupcake. Okay, you get cupcake. I don't want to eat healthy food. That's fine. Because they can make their choice. It's 1 year old. If they have an option, of course they're going to only eat cupcakes. They're not going to eat broccoli and carrots. And I think this is where parents are so apologetic. They say this new parenting method, they keep telling me, you need to get a consent from an infant to when you change diaper. It's like infant cannot talk, but still they can hear you. So whenever you change their diaper, may I change your diaper and wait for them their eyesight and then change them.
What kind of sick freak is telling you this?
This is a new modern-day parenting are very popular among moms.
It's very popular with new moms?
Every mom talking about this.
Every mom you know is doing
yeah,
this?
Yeah, this new book that somebody wrote, like, you can drink wine. There's all 4 studies that you cannot drink wine. And, now drinking wine is fine, so mom's drinking wine now.
Oh, the wine moms.
Yeah, but, like, this new book that somebody wrote is, like, widely read. And everybody talks about it.
What's the name of the book?
I don't know. I did not even read
I'm
that.
I'm miserable and my kid should be too. That's probably what it's called. Yanmi, God bless you. Very insightful. I'm happy to try to refound the country with you. It's an admirable Thanks. Cause. God bless you.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.